And it's been 2 days since Joe Biden was determined the president-elect, the 46th president of the United States, winning more than 270 electoral college votes needed to secure the presidency, leading in the popular vote by about 4.5 million. Today, we're going to begin a check-in with voters later in the program. We'll hear from a black activist in Georgia, where two Senate races are in runoffs. But right now, we want to visit again some of our previous guests, and we're going to start with Anne Ragosta. She's a former federal agent, mother of three in Milford, Massachusetts. We first met Anne when she turned out for a big caravan for President Trump here in the Massachusetts area. And Anne, as you expressed to us then, a huge supporter of President Trump. Your thoughts today?
Well, obviously, I am not kicking up my heels in joy. But that being said, I think I'm approaching the outcome a little bit more cautiously, not jumping to the same conclusion that the media has jumped to necessarily, particularly since there seems to be some indicia of fraud or irregularities. You know, would I prefer to be in Joe Biden's camp right now? Of course. But I do think once everything is adjudicated, once it's adjudicated properly, I think we might see something different. I'm not saying we necessarily will, but I like to hearken back to the Gore Bush, Florida Supreme Court decision. So my mood is more cautiously optimistic. And if Trump supporters feel that it's been a free and fair election, we wipe away our tears and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and move forward.
Well, I mean, I hear everything you're saying. And you mentioned Florida, the difference being that was an incredibly razor-tight race in which it did come down to the counting of ballots in just one section of Florida. That's how tight the Electoral College race can be. This is an overwhelming victory. Joe Biden had the most votes cast in history, 4.5 million ahead of Donald Trump, who had the second most votes cast in history. He did quite well, actually, just did not win. There's just been no evidence of any widespread fraud, none.
I will say this. I mean, clearly the popular vote doesn't matter. You don't, if you take away California and New York and those highly, highly populated states, you don't come to the same millions and millions of more votes cast for Joe Biden. Secondly, when you talk about systemic fraud or the lack thereof, first of all, we don't know that. I think that, again, still needs to be adjudicated. Where there is indicia of fraud and irregularities, there is usually fraud in irregularities. I don't think Donald Trump is a sore loser. I mean, we heard Hillary Clinton shout to the rooftops a month ago, Joe Biden should not concede until the last ballot is counted. So why I don't understand why someone would be deemed to be a sore loser, because they're availing themselves of, you know, every legal remedy to ensure that it is a fair election.
Yeah. Again, there's no evidence. But you say, well, Waymel.
Oh, I think you're wrong. I disagree. I think there is absolutely evidence.
Well, what do you see? If there is no proof of fraud and this stands, are you willing to give a President Joe Biden a chance?
I don't think so. Only because I listen carefully to what his policies are going to be. I completely disagree with virtually every one of his policy pronouncements. And let me just close with this. I think the biggest fraud that has been perpetrated in this election cycle has been the fraud by the mainstream media against the American public for really, truly lying about this president's accomplishments and lying about him being a racist and a homophobe. 50% of Americans think it's appalling.
And obviously a tough day for you. So thank you for speaking with us.
No, not yet.
Milton. Oh, not yet. Okay.
Again, not
all right.
Yet.
All right. Republican, strong President Trump backer, Milford, Massachusetts voter Anne Ragosta. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, now let's go to New Hampshire. Katherine Johnson grew up in a Republican family there. Her father was a judge, chair of the state's party. But after Donald Trump won the nomination in 2016, she campaigned for Democrats. And Catherine, when last we spoke with you, you actually broke down in tears speaking of Donald Trump and what you feared was his impact on the party of your, you know, ancestors. How do you feel after this weekend's election?
Well, first, I hope you can hear it in my voice. I am so happy. And I think that my father would be incredibly proud of the turnout. I mean, to see this many people come out in this election.
But what would you say to people in the party of your father, you know, that your father loved, the Republican Party, who are not conceding this election, as we just heard, think that there possibly might have been fraud, don't feel they can accept a President Biden, what would you say?
You know, first of all, when it comes to calling the elections, unless I'm wrong, I think we've always had the elections called by the media, and then we go through the whole electoral verification process. I think when it comes to the 70 million, you know, voters, I think it's time to decide if you're Republicans or Trump Republicans. I mean, if you look at how they did down ballot, the Republicans did very well. So one of the things I think they should ask themselves is if their candidates all did so well up and down the ticket, how come Donald Trump lost? They lost because many of those people who are true Republicans, that they voted for their candidates. But then when it came to the top of the ticket, they voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris because they're sick of the rhetoric. They're sick of the tweets. They're sick of the lack of compassion and racial unrest. I mean, this president spent the weekend golfing again. I mean, and Joe Biden's put together a corona advisory task force with scientists. I mean, I've never had so much hope in my life. So I think that Republicans really need to ask themselves, are you going to believe the facts or are you going to believe the alternative facts? If I could say anything to Donald Trump, please, sir, please have class and please concede with dignity.
That's Katherine Johnson, again, from a family, longtime Republican in New Hampshire. Katherine, thanks so much for speaking with us again.
Thank you, Robin.
Well, let's go now to Lexington, Kentucky, where Beth Howard is an organizing director of Southern Crossroads. She's the white daughter of a former strip miner. Her group works for racial justice. We spoke with her and a member of Southern Crossroads after she also started the group Rednecks for Black Lives Matter in the wake of the killing of George Floyd. And Beth joins us now. Beth, how are you feeling about this election?
Well, today I wanted to say that Trump has been defeated and we are thrilled. And that was crucial. And just acknowledging that that was led by Black organizers and especially Black women, and that we are going to stay vigilant until Inauguration Day. But yes, to follow up on our conversation, that assessment to me still feels really true. And also building multiracial alliances of poor and working people in the South. It works. And I think we saw that in Georgia. And so I'm really looking to Georgia and looking at the work that we've laid out for ourselves as a strategy to win back the South. And both political parties are run by billionaires. And so we do see our work as being the same. And that means that we are going to be pushing for, you know, safe housing for everyone, healthcare, you know, food and shelter, safety. And I really want to lift up the importance of the South. I want people to know that the South is worth investing in. W.E. Du Bois, who is a Black Southerner, civil rights activist, said, as the South goes, so goes the nation. And that is still true. And so I really want to talk about, you know, if we want to defeat the far right in this country, we have to defeat them here in the South where they're the strongest. And I do believe we do that by organizing poor people around mutual interest issues, town by town. And that's what we saw in Georgia. You know, Georgia is not a fluke or a miracle. It was organizing with that exact plan in mind. And so what we did, Southern Crossroads did, I want to talk about that because I think it's such important data. You know, Georgia turned into a swing state when many people would have written it off. And I know a lot of people are seeing this high number of Trump voters who are white. And many white people are, you know, that's upsetting to see. And there's a lot of worry around that. And I think that we stick to our plan that works. So in Georgia, we followed the leadership and worked alongside the New Georgia Project, so following Black leadership. And along with showing up for racial justice, Southern Crossroads, we made thousands and thousands of calls to poor white voters in Georgia. And we didn't call Trump voters. You know, we didn't try to pull them away from Trump. We called voters that sit it out in most elections and people who both parties ignore. And what we're seeing, the data from there, is that we're seeing that we had gains in majority white counties in Georgia. And that is because of the work of, you know, Black-led organizing and then the white people like us who showed up and did our part.
Well, it sounds like what you're saying is one thing you take from this election is don't ignore voters. Don't ignore them.
Yeah, absolutely, Robin. Don't ignore us. Don't count us out. And I wanted to say, as an Appalachian woman from a working class family, working class, rural folks, that I'm hearing many liberals and many people wanting to blame poor white people in the South. They call us uneducated, ignorant, and backwards, and it really undermines our ability to bring our communities into this movement, and the right weaponizes it. And so I want to ask people to interrupt those narratives when you see them and within ourselves, because we don't want to do the right's work for them. And this is our work for the long haul. So here at Southern Crossroads, and for me, we're just going to keep organizing.
Beth Howard, Organizing Director of Southern Crossroads, the not-for-profit advocating for social and racial justice, talking to us there from Kentucky. Beth, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Robin.
And that's just a sample of voter voices. We'll hear more in the program, but also in the coming days. And right now, if you'd like to weigh in, go to hearandnow.org. We'd love to hear from you. You're listening to Here and Now.